Welcome to today's installation of the Pathways podcast. We're sitting down with Liesl Baum, and you have quite the impressive title that you've written down for me, but I'm going to have you read it off because that's a position.
So I'm technically a research assistant professor here at the university, but I'm the director of the Center for Research in Seed Education and a senior fellow at the Institute for Creativity, Arts, and Technology.
So how does one actually end up with that position? How did you end up as the director of the Center of Research for Seed Education?
I got very lucky across the years here. The center is actually new to the university, where we've been about a year and a half now, and it's what was formerly VT STEM.
Okay.
So it was an initiative here at the university, and then we were looking at making it a little bit more substantial and changing the mission and the vision a little bit, and it fit being a research center more than just a campus initiative. Plus, it had outlived its time. It's about 13 or so years old. So for an initiative to go that long, it's about time to either move forward or
it's less of like that spark, that initiative kind of moving on to okay.
Yeah. So we felt that, you know, with the way we wanted to transition the mission and the vision of that initiative, it fit very nicely within the institute, within ICAT. And with the retirement of the former director of the VT STEM, and with it fitting kind of nicely in the work that I do at ICAT, it just happened. That's how it happened.
All right. So tell me a little bit about how you specifically became in Pathways and kind of how you got started with CREATE.
Sure. So the CREATE class, let me start there.
Okay.
Because that's older than Pathways. So the CREATE class, this is our sixth year teaching. It actually started the same time the Institute, the same time ICAT started. When our director was hired back in 2012, we were talking one day and we said, hey, what if we had a class that brought students into the process of what ICAT is aiming to accomplish university-wide, which is kind of this notion of creativity, critical thinking, transdisciplinary research, basically just getting students to think outside of their disciplines and begin to work with other students that are in disciplines that may not align very nicely with their own. We were doing that for faculty, and we felt that the students needed an opportunity to do that too. And we also were really toying with this notion of time, space, and permission. So again, giving the students the time, the space, whether it be physical space, mental space, whatever you want to go with there, and just the permission to do something different, do something that took them outside of the constraints of their discipline. So born out of that conversation was the CREATE class, and we went through the honors department initially and just got it on the books for one semester, started teaching, bringing in a bunch of different guest speakers, and it's grown from there now into fitting as part of this Pathways curriculum.
I guess, okay, twofold question.
Yeah.
How did you get involved? How did CREATE kind of get involved with honors? Like, was the spark or the initiating piece, like, why was it important? Especially because the program has changed from an honors program to an honors college in the last 6 years. So kind of how did integrating with the honors program at the time help the class come to fruition?
Yeah. So honestly, it was a pretty easy process because they have their colloquiums that they need to fill, their colloquium hours. So we pitched this as a colloquium opportunity, and we knew that we wanted students from every year, so freshmen through seniors. And we knew we wanted students from all disciplines, not just engineering, not just, you know, not just history or, you know, whatever. We wanted them all. We wanted to kind of cover as much as we could. And it was a really great space in which to participate because of that colloquium opportunity. So it is something that, you know, all levels of students participate in, that all disciplines of students participate in. So it fit very nicely into that spot. So that's, you know, again, we were kind of trying it out, playing a little bit. It was a safe space for us to be as well. It was a nice little marriage there, I think.
how did the course kind of like start fitting into the Pathways program? It's also older than the Pathways program, so yeah. why was selected to part of be part of this pilot aspect of Pathways right now?
So I remember those early conversations several years ago, being in on those conversations and just exploring classes that existed that got at this notion of engaging students in creative thinking and critical thinking opportunities, but also engaging them in this transdisciplinary work. And that's an easy, quick and easy descriptor of the Create class. So it only made sense that it fit there. So being part of those conversations, you know, there's a class out of engineering, business, and industrial design that we talked about. There's obviously the startup class that was kind of starting up at that point. And there, you know, there were these other courses that were kind of there on the fringes. But when I think about what we wanted to accomplish with this minor, it just, again, it fits so nicely into that space as one component of that. You know, we originally talked about it, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it being kind of the introductory course to the minor, because it set the stage for the type of work and the type of thinking we were going to be expecting of the students as they moved forward in the minor. And, you know, that obviously evolved over the years of development, but it was just a nice kind of gateway course for what we wanted to do.
The Pathways curriculum is cultivated around three basic principles: inclusivity, relevance, and integration. Does one of these really resonate with you? What are some examples of how you currently plan to apply this in the classroom?
So it's interesting to think about those terms, because I know how they're defined in some ways and defined in other ways. This is that whole transdisciplinary vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I like most about this class, I'm going to go with the relevance piece.
Okay.
Because it does give the students an opportunity to play in that space of relevance. So while we apply other principles to the work that they're doing that may, out of context, not necessarily be relevant to them, the space in which they're participating, which they self-identify, creates a sense of relevance for them. It creates a sense of relevance within their personal lives. It creates a sense of relevance within their disciplinary pathway and their career pathway as well. So there's a number of different ways that it's designed to create and engage in relevant content. So again, for instance, we have them self-identify the space in which they participate. They say, you know what, this really bothers me, or this is something that I need that I don't have, or this is something I observed in other people, and I'm a marketing major, and I'm going to work with this physics major and this biology major to figure this out, but I'm going to learn how to apply my marketing skills or what I'm learning in my marketing major to either communicate the message through this problem space, to generate a real valid solution in this problem space, you know, whatever that may be. But I think they're seeing the application of their particular major in a different context. The way I see it is they're generating relevance for their major in a space that's not necessarily one that's defined within the confines of their major.
Yeah, it kind of, the way you described it, it feels much more like a real application, like what you would step outside of the educational realm and try to experience, or that you would need to experience, because your skills don't always line up with perfectly to accomplish the grander goal, your grander objective, I guess, is what you're getting at.
Right.
And I don't know, that's the way I interpreted that. Like, you need to both be able to work in a team that gives a lot of variety of skill to a problem, but also you need to be able to figure out how to apply your skills to that specific issue.
You need to contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to contribute in a meaningful way. And that's why we want people from across the universities, because these types of big problems require multiple perspectives and multiple areas of knowledge. So this is a great space to really practice that and see that.
Talk us through how you integrated ethical reasoning or intercultural and global awareness within the classroom. So those are the two big things that like Pathways is really talking about, or really like wants to try to bring more to the forefront. And I was just interested about like how you think specifically both those two things kind of fit in the create space.
Yeah. And it's tough because every semester is different and we never know what, I mean, we could easily do that by defining the problem space for the students.
But yeah, but you don't, that's not the point.
That's not the point. So we kind of have to be very flexible in this particular space related to global awareness and inclusivity. And so what we're doing this semester, and we've done this in past semesters, is as they're thinking through, you know, yeah, these problems are relevant to them. They're things that they want to solve for themselves or for their friends or for their families or, you know, whatever degree of separation that may be. But getting them to think about the impact of not only addressing their problem, but also the solution that they're proposing to their problem. What impact does that have on other people? So thinking about the winners and the losers here, you know, yeah, who's benefiting from this, but also who's losing? You know, so if you have a program that's designed to, one of the groups this semester is looking at food waste and working with, you know, farms and restaurants and to identify how they treat their leftover food. Where does it go? So if the you know, program that they develop to address their self-identified issue, yes, it may benefit this particular population, but what about this population, or what about that population? And we really are working to get them to consider multiple populations, but not just at kind of the same level or the same culture, but outside of those cultures as well. So, and then to try to think globally about that. Does your solution or does your work have an impact globally? And we have them, there's several of them that are talking this language, like this whole think locally, act, or think globally, act locally. And they're kind of bringing it up in their presentations and stuff, which I think is great because they're thinking about that. They're thinking, okay, this is a very, very local, sometimes as local as just Virginia Tech or just the town of Blacksburg. It's a very local problem, a local solution. But they're showing evidence that they've thought, well, there are these other communities that are similar, and if we share what we've done, how it can impact them, if we impact all of these little local communities in the same way, it kind of snowballs from there. So again, just getting them to think through that process of, let's think down the line a little bit and what impact that will eventually have on a more global perspective.
How do you work playing off of your students in the short term and down the road? So, like, how, I guess we've talked a lot about, like, how the class kind of integrates, like, individual students setting their own path, but I guess a little bit, how do you play off of them, or how do you kind of try to guide them, or what are kind of some of the things that maybe you'll push them in the direction or try to help solve their problems for? Can you talk a little bit about, like, some of that student interaction?
Yeah, so one of the great aspects of the design of this class, and I was a middle school teacher, and so I've come through the education. My degree is in education, and so I know, you know, I've seen different ways of teaching and different formats. And I think what I love about the design of this class is it is designed to be very, I'll use the word intimate, in the sense that there's a lot of interaction between the instructor and the students, but there's also then a lot of interaction with the instructor and then the project groups, in the sense that we spend a lot of class time giving feedback. So this is a point of struggle for a lot of students, because I'm not going to write up all of these things and then email it to you and say, and your grade is an A. I'm going to spend a half an hour in class with you and go over point by point the work that you've presented, and then have this discussion. You know, I talked about the co-construction, right? The co-identification of issues, the co-identification of needs, and the co-construction of knowledge. And there's a lot of that happening. And we're very fortunate that because the numbers are what they are related to class size, that we can do that.
Yeah.
And I would really like to carry that through as we do scale this, because I think that's really critical for this type of class and for what we want the students to come out of this with. We want them to practice the process of reflection and understanding and identifying where their failures and how to recover from those failures, and then how to incorporate those failures into their process, and then how to pivot their own thinking, and then but recognizing each of those steps is something that is teaching them something, not as something that's bad.
For a lot of classes, I think the question is more targeted at how do you take what the student offers you and kind of pull that back into the course.
Yeah.
But it sounds from what I've heard about Create from you today and from in general, it sounds more like that you're trying to give the student the space to do their thing. So it really is already very student dictated, which isn't necessarily the case in every course.
Right.
But I guess your answer to the question was more like the interaction and how we feed off students is that we kind of go through this iterative critique process, right? Where we come, we give you feedback, and then you take that feedback and run with it, and then do it again and again, and builds to get to a better spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we rely on them as peers as well. So this class we had this semester is fantastic, actually. They're a great model, and they've really taken a lot of ownership in the success of their peers. So this critique process that they're doing, it's something that is based on theater techniques, which, again, is unique to design, is pulling from the arts and how to communicate constructively with each other, and they just picked it up very quickly, and they're kind of able to lead themselves through that process. So as a result, as instructors, we're able to kind of step back a little bit and watch all of this unfold as peers, as peer-to-peer learning, and then we're able to reflect on that and process a little bit more thoroughly what they actually need from us.
Mm.
So we don't intervene in a space where they don't need us. They, mm-hmm. you know, you don't need us here, but you need us here. And then, you know, we look to our peers and to our colleagues and say, this group really needs a little bit of help with their presentation skills. So we have somebody who works with TEDx Virginia Tech come in and work on effective presentation skills. And the other thing we've done is paid very close attention throughout the years to what the students typically need. So mm-hmm. there are trends in that. And we build that into the structure of the course. There are things that course one, day one, was missing that now course year six, second semester, has. And it just, I feel like it gets better and better every year. And the students respond as such. So it's just a lot of just paying attention, you know, and treating them as essentially as peers too, of we're going to work through this together because you sometimes know more than we do and we sometimes know more than you do. So let's work together.
All right. I think that's all we've got time for. I'm already making you late for your next meeting. I'm sorry about
it's
that.
Okay.
But thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah.
It was wonderful getting a chance to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Pathways Podcast. We sat down with Liesl Baum. Our interviewer was Lewis Michael. Our transition music is composed by Sam Mariello. Our intro-outro music is composed by Akitmi Yetmo. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to the Pathways Podcast.